This episode is coming to you a little early because this week is Podcast-a-thon, a week where podcasters around the world shine a light on causes that matter. And this week for us, that cause is PAC, People for Animal Care and Kindness, a local nonprofit doing the kind of work that restores your faith in humanity.
History is messy,
weird, wild, anything but boring.
We're rainy day rabbit holes,
exploring the unhinged side of history, politics, and culture.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole. PAC is a volunteer-driven animal welfare organization right here in our community that focuses on helping pets and the people who love them stay together. They provide emergency veterinary assistance, help families access food and supplies for their pets, and step in when animals need fostering, rescue, or a safe place to land during difficult circumstances. They also work closely with vulnerable members of the community, including seniors, low-income households, and people experiencing homelessness, because they understand something simple but powerful. Sometimes a pet is the most important companion someone has. Their mission isn't about rescuing animals. It's about preserving the bond between people and their pets. By offering practical support, compassion, and resources, PAC helps ensure that a temporary hardship doesn't mean someone has to lose their best friend. And honestly, that kind of work makes the whole community stronger for the animals and the humans alike.
Now, before we get into this, I'm going to have to apologize. You know how I am. I'm a giant softy. So I am probably going to cry through a lot of this.
Wait, you didn't pack your tissues ahead of time.
I have some in my pocket.
Oh, you do?
Remember when the dog was like, oh, are those treats? Nope, they're tissues. So I promise to edit out nose blowing and sniffing. But if my voice gets really weird, it's because when you start talking about an animal story, I just start crying. I can't read it. I can't talk about it without crying. So.
She hasn't even started.
I know. And my eyes are already starting to water. All right. So a little bit of background. In 2014, I lost my beloved toy fox terrier, Cash. Cash was part of my soul. And when he was gone, it was like a piece of me had died. Okay, here I go crying already.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to cry too because I feel you on this. I have
one myself. Buddy, right? So if you've ever loved a dog like that, you know what I mean when I say the house changes shape after they're gone. The air feels different. The routines fall apart. There was a dog-shaped hole in my life that never quite closed. And in 2015, we adopted two elderly cats, Storm and Coco. And we loved them both so much. Coco passed away in 2020 on Rich's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, that was not a good birthday present.
That's awful.
And Storm stayed with us until 2023. He was 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was.
That makes me happy to know that I've got, one and a half year olds in the house. So
yeah,
they're going to make it to 20.
Yeah.
All the cuddles.
Yeah.
We'll both maybe only live another 20 years.
When Storm passed, the silence came back. And I just hated not having a pet in the house. So I started looking at rescue dogs. I was scrolling on Pet Finder, reading bios, and I would fall for faces. I had like a list of favorites that was like 20 dogs long, but none quite fit, or they were adopted before we could even meet them. Then, in early February of 2025, my husband sent me a Facebook post from a local rescue called PAC. That's PACK. There was a little dog who needed an emergency foster, just a few days or maybe a week. And his owner was an unhoused man who had been trying to get from Vancouver, Washington to Tacoma to see a dying friend in the hospital. And he walked during a week when the temperature didn't get above 28 degrees.
Wow.
He kept his little dog safe, but he suffered severe frostbite on his fingers. He ended up in the hospital facing amputation. And this is where PAC stepped in. They put him up in a local hotel so he would at least have a warm place to sleep. But when he was hospitalized, his little dog, Ruff, was left alone in that room. I know. I hate thinking about
his little face.
Fear. The rescue needed someone nearby who could step in quickly. My husband said, it's like dating. You can foster. You don't have to commit. He's someone else's dog and he's going to be leaving. Famous last words.
Like dating. It's like when he took you on a date,
right? A week turned into a month. Ruff learned our routines. He learned the sound of the bag of treats. kept a watchful eye on us at all times and refused to leave our sides. And somewhere in there, without fanfare, he stopped feeling like a guest and started feeling like family. About 6 weeks in, we get a text late one night from Danielle at PAC. "Hey, can you guys talk?" My heart dropped straight into my shoes because I knew this was it. Sorry, here I go again. The waterworks. The call that would rip him away from us. And this was the responsible ending, right? We agreed to this when we agreed to foster. Instead, she said, "Do you guys want to adopt Ruff?" He was ours. His prior owner had checked himself out of the hospital and just disappeared.
Aww.
Of course, I burst into tears. The ugly kind of like now. But they were grateful tears, right? It's the kind that comes from realizing that the universe sometimes hands you something that you thought you'd lost forever. Ruff has brought joy into my life every single day since. I love him more than my heart can process. He's ridiculous and joyful and perfect. And none of that would have happened without Pack. So this episode is for them. For the people who step in when someone walks 150 miles in freezing weather to protect a tiny little dog. For the volunteers who answer late night texts. And today, we're telling hero animal stories. But we're also telling the story of a rescue that makes heroes possible. And if you've ever had a dog-shaped hole in your heart, you already know why this matters. All right. We're going to get into it, Jody. You ready?
I'm ready. You ready? Do you need to take a break and go blow your nose?
I need to blow my nose. Yes. Hold on. Okay. The magic of editing. You're not going to hear me blow my nose right now. You're welcome. Okay.
Be grateful for the magic of editing.
Hear me snot all over the microphone. Oh, my God. Okay.
So that microphone cover needs change.
Right. Okay. Driveways are supposed to be boring places. A kid riding a bike in circles. Sun on the concrete. Maybe a parent watching from the window. The sort of moment that disappears into the blur of everyday life. But sometimes, hero stories start in the most ordinary places. And sometimes, the hero is a house cat who decides that today is not the day anyone messes with her kid. In May of 2014, 4-year-old Jeremy was riding his little push bike in the driveway of his family's home in Bakersfield, California. It was the sort of quiet suburban afternoon that blends into a thousand others.
Ooh. Is this a viral video?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Jeremy pushed his bike in circles while a security camera mounted on the house quietly recorded the scene. Something meant for porch pirates and stray raccoons, mm-hmm. not internet history. Then a neighbor's dog, a large Labrador Chow mix, ran around a parked car into the yard from behind him. In seconds, the dog grabbed Jeremy's leg and began dragging him across the driveway. Jeremy screamed as the dog shook him, and the camera captured a moment every parent fears. A child alone in sudden danger. And then the frame exploded with motion. A blur of striped fur streaked across the driveway and slammed into the dog like a tiny furry linebacker. The family's tabby cat, Tara, body checked the dog with such force that it immediately released Jeremy.
Tara is a badass.
She is. Tara chased the dog clear out of the yard before returning to Jeremy's side as his mother ran out of the house. Jeremy needed stitches, but he recovered quickly. And the video of a fearless house cat saving a child went viral around the world. Tara later received national awards and was honored as a hero. But honestly, she probably just thought she was doing her job.
I saw that video a few years back and I was stunned because I didn't know a cat would do that.
I know.
Be as protective like that, like a dog. It was... I love that story. See, it was stuck in my head.
Do you think it would be Doug or Walter?
Oh, God. Well, it'd be Doug. I mean... Doug would do it to protect someone. Walter would only go after it if maybe he could kill it.
So if
it hunted and leave me a prize.
If a bird attacked.
Yes, maybe if a bird, like if a hummingbird was like staring at my eyes, in my eyes, we were making eye contact, Walter would definitely take advantage of that and nail it.
You weren't quite in danger though.
Yeah, right. That's not why. That instinct to protect, to show up, to care for someone smaller than you is something animals seem to understand effortlessly. And it's the same instinct that drives the work of PAC, People for Animal Care and Kindness. PAC steps in when animals and people who love them are in trouble. They help families afford veterinary care, provide food and supplies, and make sure that hardship doesn't mean someone has to lose the companion they depend on. It's quiet work, compassionate work, the kind that keeps stories from ending badly. the kind that makes a story like Ruff's end positively. Absolutely. And full of joy.
Oh my God, you're so sweet, little dog. He's sitting on my lap on his heated blanket and he's all floppy. Well, before we head on to the next story, let's take a quick little break so that we can earn a little money for Pack. All right, we are back. Today we are honoring Pack, People for Animal Care and Kindness. And you can find more at packgives.org. All right, so here's story animal hero number two. Imagine walking down 70 flights of stairs in darkness and smoke. Sirens screaming. Thousands of people moving in panic. The ground trembling beneath your feet. Now imagine doing it without being able to see. That morning in New York, two guide dogs showed the world what courage looks like. On September 11th, 2001, two Labrador retrievers were quietly doing their work inside the World Trade Center. Salty sat beside his owner, Omar Riviera, on the 71st floor of the North Tower. Seven floors above them, Roselle lay under the desk of her owner, Michael Hingson, on the 78th floor. Both men were blind. Both dogs were trained guide dogs.
Wow.
When planes struck the towers, chaos erupted. Smoke filled the corridors. Thousands of people flooded into stairwells trying to escape. Salty, who had been sleeping in Omar's cubicle, leapt up and began running back and forth along the hallway, like he was trying to figure out what was going on. Then he returned to Omar's side, shaking, trying to communicate with his handler. So Omar grabbed Salty's harness and they began their escape. The narrow stairwell filled with choking fumes and began to get very hot. Terrified, Omar let go of Salty's harness, thinking at least his beloved dog could find his way to safety. But Salty refused to leave. He led Omar down 71 floors to street level.
No way.
Where they both ran as fast as they could away from the collapsing tower.
Ugh.
Can't even imagine.
I can't. Yeah. I have chills. And it's not because it's cold in here.
Should have brought your heated blanket.
Yeah.
On the 78th floor, Roselle was fast asleep under Michael Hingson's desk. When Flight 11 struck Tower 1, 15 floors above them, she jumped into action. Roselle calmly guided Hingson and a group of about 30 co-workers down 78 floors, over 1,400 stairs through smoke and falling debris. Along the way, they even passed firefighters climbing upward towards danger. The descent took over an hour.
Oh, I cannot even imagine.
Can you imagine?
In that
you think you're going to die.
You're on the for that
second,
entire hour.
For an hour.
You were on the edge of collapse.
Your adrenal glands are just blown out at the end. Finally, they made their way out. And moments later, the towers collapsed.
Mm.
Both men survived because their dogs never lost focus. For their bravery, Salty and Roselle were later awarded the Dickin Medal, one of the highest honors given to animals for courage.
That's so sweet. I've never even considered that there were animals in the building.
Yeah.
I mean, it just never even crossed my mind. And to know that these two particularly were heroes.
They're the goodest boys.
Goodest.
And girl. Oh my God. Okay.
Look, Pack.
I've done pretty good.
Back to Pack.
I've only cried twice.
Ah, please. You've been sapping the whole time.
And I've been kind of leaking a little bit. Hold on.
Well, Shay clears it up. Animals don't care about fame or recognition. They just do what they were meant to do. Protect, guide, and stay beside the people they love. But the truth is, animals need protection too. And that's where rescues like Pack step in. By helping pets get medical care, by supporting struggling pet owners, and by fostering animals who need a safe place to land, Pack ensures that more animals get the chance to live the kind of loyal, loving lives that inspire stories like these.
All right, final story. Sometimes a hero doesn't bark or chase or leap into action. Sometimes a hero simply waits, right in the middle of the road, and refuses to move until someone follows. In September of 2024, and this one's local, a sheriff's deputy in Stevens County, Washington, noticed a dog sitting alone in the middle of a remote forest road. The dog, an elderly rescue named Gita, was calm but persistent. When the deputy approached and tried to get her into the patrol car, she wouldn't budge. Instead, she walked down the road a little distance and then stopped and looked back. The deputy followed. Gita led him down the road and towards a wooded area nearby. There, lying on the ground, was her 84-year-old owner. The man had fallen and couldn't get up. Injured and alone, he had been calling for help, but no one could hear him in the remote forest. Gita had stayed with him. Then she walked out to the road to find help. And when she found it, she made sure it followed her back. Thanks to the loyal little rescue dog, the man received medical attention and survived.
Wow, another little hero.
Yeah.
So cute. If these stories we shared today made you smile, or maybe made you tear up a little like Shay.
Like me. Blubber.
That feeling you're having right now is the whole point. Animals have this remarkable way of showing us the best parts of ourselves. Loyalty, compassion, the instinct to care for someone who needs help. They remind us that being good to each other isn't complicated. It's showing up.
And that's exactly what PAC, People for Animal Care and Kindness, is doing every single day in our community. They help animals who need medical care. They support people who are struggling to keep their beloved pets safe and fed. They foster animals like Ruff who need a temporary place to land. And sometimes, like in the case of one scruffy little dog named Ruff, they help create a whole new chapter in someone's life.
Rescues like PAC run on compassion, but compassion still needs some gas money. It needs vet bills paid. It needs food, supplies, and volunteers who can step in when animals need help the most. So if you're able, consider making a donation today. Even a small contribution can help keep an animal healthy, keep a family together, or give a rescue dog a second chance at the kind of life they deserve. You can learn more and donate at PACGives.org. Again, that's PACGives.org. Because every hero animal story starts somewhere, and sometimes it starts with someone deciding to help.
Thank you guys for listening to our special little charity episode. Links to Podcastathon will be in the show notes. And please go to PACGives.org and donate today. Thank you so much for your help, and we'll see you next time. You've been listening to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes, if you forgot already. You can find more stories like this, plus photos and sources at rainydayrabbitholes.com. Our site is built by Letha Davis at easybreezy.com. That's E-A-S-Y-B-R-Z-Y.
Easy breezy. It's breezy.
Our social media wizard is Logan Hine at Redemption Industries. And you can join our Patreon for bonus episodes and ad-free listening. The link's right there on our website. Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is a proud member of MSW Media. And this episode was produced and edited by me, Shay.
Master editor.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'm not bad. Not bad.
Not bad editor.
So thanks for listening. Stay curious and
see you down the rabbit hole.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line, and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.